Where can people go to find, where can I go to find those sort of LARP experiences?
So, again, how I mentioned that Google Plus has really become sort of the mecca of gaming, you could always start looking on things. I know one of the biggest factions is going to be the World of Darkness stuff, your mage, your werewolf, that sort of stuff. So if you're into kind of those darker stories, look for local things in the cam. I mean, that's really one of the best things you can do. Personally, I like a lot of the Nordic style LARPs. Yeah. I don't have any local groups that do it, but I try to do it every con that I go to because it can really, you can actually do it there. And it's really fascinating. I think LARPing is going to start popping up more and more. I know that there is a LARP on a submarine or an aircraft carrier in Germany where you basically play out like Battlestar Galactica.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
There is a castle in the Czech Republic where you can go to the College of Wizardry. I have several friends that have traveled over there to be in the Hogwarts LARP. And I think that's great that those are starting because I have a feeling they're going to jump the ocean. I have a feeling that we're going to see much more things like that start to pop up. And even there's a big trend right now in the like pervasive game world, pervasive meaning like playing it in real time. There's a lot of these things called like lock house or safe houses where it's like a maze that you actually have to go through and you interact with actual actors and characters. There's also a lot more in the theater world that's actually, there was in New York City, I think it's still running, called Sleep No More, where all the audience wears masks and just roam around this mansion room to room and the actors are acting out Macbeth around you.
Interesting.
And you see what you want to see of the story and you don't have to see all of it. You could follow one character and only see their side of things. So there's a lot more things like that, even just like I said, you know, in theater, even bringing things like that. I have a feeling that LARP is going to become a little bit more respected thing in the US.
I hope so.
I know it's hard to find. Like I said, you know, I know a couple of groups around here that do World of Darkness and things like that, but that's really about all you can find. So if that's not really your thing, if it is your thing, awesome. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, you're pretty sparse on what you can find. So
yeah, I mean, it would be great to see someone try to figure out some way of doing LARPing through G+ Hangouts in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because tabletop, for the most part, a lot of tabletop games you can do over Hangouts, and it's great. Like, I mean, you can go and download an entire like layout for playing Fiasco through Google Hangouts. It's super simple to do because they have the dice emulators, they have all that stuff. You can do it. It's really simple. And actually, we're playtesting one of the games that we're getting ready to put up on Kickstarter. We're playtesting it over G+ because I have all these friends all over the world that would love to playtest it, but I can't get them together. And so it's easier to do it over video chat. And if you're using dice or cards, it's really easy to do. So it would be nice if LARPing could be a thing. Now, there is a lot of play-by-post stuff that goes on G+ also. So you get a little bit more where you get to describe how your character feels and what your character's thinking. And so, you know, it's kind of a nice mix between tabletop and LARPing because you get a little bit more insights into how your character feels. So that's pretty cool.
Gotcha. Yeah. And are there Storium out there now that folks are using for some of that as well? I a friend of mine invited me to one game and I was very impressed with just how structured it was. It's like, obviously you wouldn't want to run every game this way, but for the kinds of games it works for, it's like, yes, this lets us play.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. No, it's really cool that there's it's becoming much more prevalent doing things like this. And I know like in the last couple of years, it seems like geek culture has kind of become in vogue. And it's been really interesting to watch. As somebody who's been into gaming and anime and stuff all my life, it's incredible to watch it actually become part of the mainstream and be considered cool and, you know, seeing all my friends' younger siblings like the things that I liked, then they're cool for doing so. And it's just really funny. So
absolutely.
It's to see it all grow. So
yeah, no, totally. So what's it going to take to bring role-playing a little closer to mainstream, do you think?
It's getting there, and it's mainly because now the Wil Wheatons and Felicia Days of the world, like people that are actively, I mean, everybody now knows that Vin Diesel plays D&D.
True.
That's huge. And I mean, nobody is sitting there saying, I'm going to play D&D just because Vin Diesel does. But having it prominent and out there in the world and not just, you know, images of stereotypical, you know, geeks sitting in the basement, eating Cheetos, rolling D20s. Mm-hmm. That's what you need. Things like Wil Wheaton doing tabletop and stuff like that. It makes a big difference because he can bring in people that don't look like your norm, don't look like normal, you know, what you consider to be, you know, the normal type of players. And it's been really interesting. I have several friends with children that have been getting their kids into role playing. There's so many good games out there for families and based at children. And it's great to get them into it because as they grow up, they're going to keep doing it. And I know a lot of people will be like, well, I grew up playing D&D with my family. And that was a little bit more few and far between.
Yeah.
As opposed to what it is now. So I think getting to kids younger is really one of the best things that we can do. It's been really interesting. I used to live in Pittsburgh and I helped run a board game meetup. And at one point I was like, we could run Fiasco.
Yeah.
Let me try it. And the guy in charge, he was like, okay, do it once, see how it goes. Everyone was shocked. They're like, I can't play a game where I tell a story where I'm a character. I can't do that. And I'm like, no. Let me show you how to play this game. And we played it, and everyone that played was like, so when are we doing this again? And I was like, that is exactly what I wanted, because that's how this works. And so now, like, every couple of months, even I don't live there anymore, but they still, every couple of months, have a Fiasco night.
Nice.
And, you know, it's and man, I was at Target. They sell Settlers of Catan at Target.
Yeah.
They're beginning to sell all these more mainstream games. And I know, you know, board games are a little bit ahead of like RPGs and things like that, but it'll follow. That's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a thing. And so, you know, going to Barnes & Noble and seeing, like, you know, they have Betrayal at House on the Hill and King of Tokyo and stuff that's a little bit more, you know, you wouldn't know about it unless you went into a game store. Now you can buy them at bookstores.
Absolutely.
So it's really cool to see it kind of branch out in that way.
Yeah. And but it's also been neat seeing, I'll always applaud the D&D folks for bringing out the board games. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but that brought a whole board game crowd. That's like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah. And even with 5th edition, the last one that they brought out, they did more of the encounters thing, which is literally you buy a box and it has everything you need. If you have never run a game before, you crack open that box and you could DM for your friends. That's huge.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are willing to play games as long as they don't have to run them. And so that's always a thing, is trying to make sure that you can find somebody to actually GM your game, because then you can actually play something. But yeah, no, that makes such a difference, and it's such a big boost in confidence that I think that makes a huge difference. And so that is one of the kind of like hazards of getting into the more independent games, because it is, oh, I have this 150 page book that I have to read and know better than anyone else and things like that. But there's so many different things being done to make games more accessible and to make kind of the learning curve a little bit different and make it not so bad. And there is actually a pretty big push for accessibility in a whole bunch of different ways. I know there's a game called Tears of the Machine, which is like you're playing mechas piloted by teen girls. So it's
as happens
kind, you know, Pacific Rim, you know, Macross kind of altogether sort of thing. He has an interactive website where you can access all of the rules. It speaks to you. You can highlight things, all of these things. So for different visibility and hearing and, you know, having other learning disabilities and things like that, you can still learn how to run this game.
That's
and
awesome.
I have a feeling that's going to become a much bigger thing. Actually, one of the things we're implementing this year in Game Chef is that we're going to come up with a template that is kind of a more standard way of submitting the game. Yeah. And so that way it's in a different font that's a little bit more visible for people with visual issues and things like that. And we're trying to do our best to make everything as accessible as possible.
That's
because
awesome.
There's a lot of people. When you go to a con, you see people of every single ability. And that's one of my favorite things about cons. Gaming, tabletop gaming is so great. You do not have to be physically capable of things that you can do in game.
Mm-hmm.
And exploring disability in games, if it's handled correctly, is great. And there's a lot of things that are going on now to make everything more accessible to everyone. And I really appreciate that. I think it's awesome. So
yeah, that is really cool. And it, I mean, for lots of reasons, if not just because that opens it up. It's amazing how people don't realize, you know, that if you make it accessible to those people, then suddenly they become your champions. You know,
yes.
This is now something that they can do, and they'll proselytize it because you're suddenly making something available to them.
Yep.
And I remember stumbling across this because I published one of my games in e-reader formats. Just go ahead the software.
Oh, cool.
And said, you know, I'll publish it out there. And somebody emailed me and said, thank you so much, because I have problems with my hands. I can have it read it back to me. And I never even thought about that. But, you know, that happens.
There's a big push towards that, and I really think it's a great way to go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for so long it's been, you know, there's always been this stigma of, like, the geeky kids that are kind of socially awkward, they're the ones that do this type of gaming. But now it's reaching such a different audience, and it's so nice to have much more accessibility and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's great to be able to go to cons and see, you know, people of every ethnicity and every orientation can all go to the same place and get along and play games together, and it doesn't matter. It's really a super inclusive world, and, you know, diversity is a good thing in games. You don't want everybody to be a hunter. You want to have a cleric and a bard and an archer. You want to have diversity. So it's definitely something that's being appreciated in the world, and that's good.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's something that I think Game Chef really helps to foster as well. And one of the things I think that's interesting there too is how Game Chef gets it's aiming more towards the strength. I think another one of the misconceptions folks have is that tabletop role playing means I have to show up every week for this campaign that goes on for 3 years.
I really love one shots. I love games that you can play in one session. Those always make me really happy. Just because it's cool to get to know a character briefly and see what you can do with them in that time. Sometimes it's great to have a full campaign and be able to have a character that you super delve into. But every now and then it's nice to just be, I mean, maybe it's somebody that's completely different than you and you just want to try, like, what if I were a really mean person all the time? Why don't I play that for 3 hours? And at the end of it, you're probably going, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not like that. But you have a chance to do it. And it's really cool because not only is it good insight for you, but it also, you know, the more experiences you have, and gaming can be really cathartic. Gaming can be a great way to get through emotions and feelings and things like that. And hey, why not just dump it out on the table and leave it there?
Exactly.
That's okay.
And I think, you know, you mentioned Fiasco. I think that's a great chance for that, because you get to play people with poor impulse control for whom bad things happen, and you just kind of let that happen to that character.
Yeah. No, I try to be the worst person I possibly can almost every time I play Fiasco. I am total kittens and rainbows in real life, and I just want to be awful when I play that game. So I, yeah, no, that's totally kind of how it goes.
Yeah. I like being either smarmy, evil, or incredibly stupid. Because stupid is fun too in Fiasco, because you just let all this stuff happen to you, and I guess all.
Because if you play the smart person in Fiasco, all you are is upset and insulted, and you know, you don't have any fun when you're smart in that game. So.
Yeah, you're being constantly frustrated by everyone else in the game, and finally there comes that point where you just, you know, pull up the gun and say, "Oh, screw it," and just start blasting everything away.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Any other advice for folks who might want to get into Game Chef this year? I know nothing's been announced yet. When does that announcement come out?
So the announcement will be on June 13th. That is the day we will announce the theme and the four ingredients, and then you'll have 9 days to submit the game. We start the clock at the earliest time zone. Like, I think it's New Zealand time for the start, and then Hawaii time for the end, to give everybody as much time as possible. And so, on the 13th, it'll go up on the website. If you subscribe to other social medias that are about gaming, believe me, it'll get passed around. Mm-hmm. My biggest advice, just try it. Because, you know, if you start and you go, I don't have the time to finish this, or I don't really want to finish it, okay, that's fine. There's no harm in that. Nothing bad will come out of it. You never know. You might finish a game. You might design a game and be able to say, "Hey guys, look, I designed a game. This is awesome."
Exactly.
And then you submit it and get feedback from other game designers. And it's a really super inclusive, friendly environment where everybody just wants to create what they can. Mm-hmm. There's, even though there's a winner chosen, it's much more about fostering a community of being supportive and helping each other out, as opposed to trying to win. Mm-hmm. And so don't worry about it being a contest. Just try. That's the best advice I can give anyone. We do have a Google Plus community that I'm one of the moderators of. Everybody is welcome to join it. You just go to Game Chef on Google Plus and we'll add you. Once the game competition starts, if you want to go onto the social media and say, "Hey, I have this idea. I'm kind of stuck with this though. Anybody got any ideas?" Please get on and talk to other people. Everybody wants to talk to each other. Everybody wants to. It's a really cool thing. There's not a lot of secret, nobody's trying to keep their ideas secret. Nobody's thinking, "Oh, somebody's going to steal my idea." Of course we're going to see overlap. There's four ingredients. People are going to come up with similar ideas. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's really more about connecting people who are interested in designing games and people who care about what's actually put out there and who, want to play really fun games. Because that's all any of us want, is to have great games to play.
There we go. Absolutely. And just to encourage people to do this, one of my most successful games is a game that I designed the day after Game Chef ended.
Nice.
One of those things where I was like, "Oh, I don't." And, "Oh, well, that's interesting. What if I type this?" And then it became a game. Yeah. You never know.
Exactly. You should always, anytime you get an idea, just write it down. You never know where it'll go.
Exactly. Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. This has been fantastic.
Absolutely.